God damn it, I love this movie. I can't believe John just let me take his copy of Highlander Endgame, the movie. Fuck, that's cool. Damn it, I wish I could be like the Highlander, fighting other immortals, making tenuous alliances with allies who I know one day I will have to destroy, wearing a ponytail and a leather duster and not looking douchey doing it. There can only be one, all that stuff. Wait a second. I am the only one now that John is gone. But I'd have to get a sword. Hold on now. I do have that sword I won at Gen Con that year. It's gotta be around here somewhere.
Well, that's not it.
When did I buy this thing? I've been looking for this. Ah, here it is. Ooh, still shiny.
By the power of Grayskull!
Sorry, wrong show.
There can only be one!
D?
What?
I cut off my hand.
Again?
Hey everyone, and welcome to episode 71 of the Fantastic Neighborhood Podcast. I'm your host, Fred, and with me... I'm alone. I decided to do a solo show this week. I've never done a solo show. When I first decided to do the podcast, I was going to do it solo, and I talked myself out of it because I realized I didn't have much to say, which is where John came into the picture. But John's not here anymore, and I'm too lazy to act as a booking agent. So, it's just me. But there might be some special treats along the way. So, quick rundown of the show this week. We're going to hop on into Consumption Junction, played some interesting stuff this week. We have an all-new segment after that. It's a Let's Play segment, something we've never done here before. I hope you guys enjoy that. For Game Club this week, we played The Ball. And then we'll roll on into the outro. So, without further ado, here comes Consumption Junction.
Well, there's a loophole in the scripture that works really well, so I can get him off without going to hell. It's my Hail Mary, full of grace. In Jesus' name, we go to fifth base. Oh, thank you for making me holy. And thank you for giving me holes to choose from. And since I'm not a godless whore, he'll have to come in the back door. Therefore, fuck me in the ass, cause I love Jesus. Good Lord would want it that way. Give me that sweet sensation of a throbbing rationalization. It's just between you and me. Cause everyone knows it's the sex that God can't see.
You know, we used to do all sorts of weird intros for Consumption Junction, and I don't got any of them in me. So here's Consumption Junction. If you're new to the show, this is a segment where we talk about what we've consumed over the past couple of, let's say a week since the last podcast, and just sort of talk about what we've been doing. So I just moved into a new house, which is partially why last week's episode was a pre-recorded bit. And I don't have my Xbox, which is killing me. I do have my Xbox, but I just got Fios, and the router is in the back of the house, and the front of the house is where the TV sits. So I'm waiting for my order from Monoprice to come in. I bought a pretty long Ethernet cable, and I'm just going to wire them up front. But I can't really play anything until that gets settled in and I get a new TV. So, God, first world problems. New TV. Need an Ethernet cable. Anyway, so I've been playing some PC stuff and surprisingly a lot on my Ouya, which we'll get to in a minute. On the PC, the one game I really did want to talk about was I got the demo release of, I guess it's a demo, of Electronic Super Joy, which is a game we've talked about a little bit in prior shows. We had Cassie Chu on the show, who's contributed to that game. And so it came out, it's an open beta, it's like $5 to buy it, and I guess it's just, you know, it's not guaranteed to be bug-free. So I played it a little. I'm playing with a 360 controller, USB controller, plugged into my PC, and I'm really liking the game. It is everything we thought it would be. It's basically Super Meat Boy with dubstep. It has a very unique art style in, well, unique for this genre of game. I mean, it's sort of Limbo on top of brightly colored backgrounds. You kind of have to play it to see it. It is definitely its own thing. Game is quite difficult. The levels require very split-second timing and very focused attention. You miss one jump, you're probably going to have to start the level over. But you do jump right back to a checkpoint, and you can just keep going. So it's one of those keep trying and keep failing until you get it right games, a la Meat Boy or Rayman Jungle Run, which is another game that we've played a lot of on the show, and I've been playing more of that on my subway commute lately. So it's definitely worth $5 to pick up and try out the beta. The beta feels like a full game. It's a little wonky to get the controller working at first. Like the mapping could be better. And if you're not playing with this game with the controller, you're fucking more courageous than I am, because it is a tough fucking game. And you know, on that perfect execution style of game, I was playing Rayman Jungle Run there. When the game first came out, it had 4 levels, and each level consisted of 10 stages. Now it has a full 7, let's call them zones or whatever you want, each with 10 levels. I didn't even realize that we're going to release so much more content for this game. This is probably my best Android game purchase, like the best thing on my phone that I spent money for. I really like this game. Nothing has really changed. They just added some more levels. The levels are visually beautiful, just as the rest of the game is. Play the same way. They didn't add any new features or anything like that. There is a pack you can buy that actually has Glowbox and 2 skins for Rayman, but I think they're just cosmetic. So I haven't purchased them yet, and I typically play the game on the subway, so by the time I actually remember that I can buy something, I can't because I don't have a signal. But really love the game. If you haven't gotten this game yet, you really need to run out and pick it up. It's quite something to play, and it's tough. Some of the later levels really, really tax you to the point where I've actually had to put it down and then come back to it another day. But it's a lot of fun. It's you can tell the developers really put effort into this thing and really thought through what they wanted to make with it. And when you compare it to like a Temple Run or a Subway Surfers or anything like that, it's just so much prettier and so much more well thought out. And I like that there's a beginning, a middle, and an end. It's not a time attack. I mean, I guess it could be a time attack if you want it to be, but it's not perpetual. There is a definitive ending to a level, and it feels rewarding to get there. So, those were my non-Ouya games. Ouya released this week. It's being met with some controversy. Some of the backers who backed the Ouya do not have their consoles yet, and they were supposed to get it pre-release. And the Ouya is now available, supposedly on Amazon and Best Buy and many other major retailers. I got mine a little bit ago, maybe a month before the actual release. I do not have any, you know, regrets about buying this thing, or kickstarting it rather, but I feel for the people who put money into this and still don't have it when they can just run out to a store and buy the thing. But if you do have one, I'm imagining you feel like me, and that I'm actually surprisingly like really into it right now. There are some total flaws that need to be fixed with the console, but they probably can address them. So let's talk about those a little bit before we move on to the good stuff. The UI is not there yet. There are still some definite things that are missing. You'll hear when I talk about the ball later, a good example though, there's no menu in the game. Like if you hit, there's a, what is effectively a home button on the controller. If you hit it once, it does nothing, and usually that, in a lot of games, that brings up the menu, but it's not the standard across games. If you double tap it, it kills your game and goes back to home. It's not easy to double tap it accidentally, so that's not a concern. But to not have any sort of way to back out to menus or to suspend your game and come back to them, which is a big feature for Android, I think, is something that could happen. It's kind of disappointing. You know, there's a couple of, like, the navigation within the store is not great. It's getting there as more content comes out, but they seem to have done this, like, categorization thing with the games as opposed to, you know, and it's not logical categories. They have game by genre later on in the list, but then they have, like, Bob's favorite games. I don't give a shit what Bob's playing. I don't know Bob. Fuck Bob. But these are all things that can be addressed. The one thing that does scare me, and it's a thing that I finally experienced, was what they're referring to as the controller lag. So if you are sitting far away enough from your Ouya, and I'm going to say this is over 8 feet, let's just say 8 feet, I'm approximating it there, you can see noticeable lag between the inputs and the effects on the screen. As you get closer to the Ouya, the lag time goes down. I have a feeling this is a limitation of the technology, so I don't know how much they can actually change, but they definitely need to accommodate this somehow, because if I can't get further than, let's say, 8 feet away from my Ouya, it's going to become taxing to play it sometimes, because I don't want to necessarily put my couch that close, especially since I'd like, first world problem, to buy a new TV that's with a larger screen. But, you know, overall, like, the console, in spite of these flaws, is actually surprisingly good for a $100 console. Like, if this was a couple of years ago, and you said $100 console will do all this stuff, you know, I would have scoffed at you. You know, the controllers feel good. They're not the best controller. I still think that goes to the 360 controller, the modern 360 controller. But they're damn close, and I'd actually go as far as saying they're better than the PlayStation controller, probably by leagues. You know, they got the button placement right and all that. And the feel of it, the triggers a little, let's say, unruly, in that, you know, it's not a shape that you're necessarily used to, but I got used to it pretty quick. I don't know that it's going to be good for, like, those triggers would not be good for, like, responsive first-person shooter style games, but this is not really a console for that type of game. This is a more casual game-driven console, although there are some, you know, like, what I would consider to be bordering on hardcore titles coming out for it. So, the few titles that I've played so far on the Ouya that I really like, I sort of just, like, arbitrarily and randomly downloaded titles that looked interesting, and I'm trying to find ones that really appeal to me. Every game is released as a free version, and then there's paid content behind a paywall where you can unlock levels, or it's a typical free-to-play style game with microtransactions. So I played One Tap Hero. This is a game that I believe is a cell phone game as well. It's literally a game with one button that does whatever actions you want, and the idea is that your character automatically moves, and you have to basically hit that one button at the right time. It's a very simple game. It kind of feels like it was made for a phone just because virtual controls suck, and it's very similar to Rayman Jungle Run in that respect. Like, you just have to hit the button at the proper time to jump the proper distance, or you maybe have to wait for the character to hit a wall and turn around so you can jump in the other way. It's got a cartoony art style that's very cute, but it's not great for a console experience. It might be a fun little cell phone game, but, you know, it's download it once, try it, and then you'll forget all about it. The next game I played was Deep Dungeons of Doom, which I believe is a Ouya exclusive. I really like this game, and I probably shouldn't. So, first off, it's pixel art, which is kind of a mixed bag for me right now. I like pixel art enough. I don't like the fact that every single thing on Earth is becoming pixel art. Like, every game does not need to be either, you know, high caliber, uncanny valley piercing realism or pixel art. There's a happy medium. This game is even makes jokes about the fact that it's pixel art, with the opening sequence starting out in HD and then turning into pixels. But it's a lighthearted medieval-style game. It reminds me of Half Minute Hero a little bit from the PSP. So you are an adventurer, and later on you get other adventurer friends, and you have to go through a series of dungeons. But each dungeon is one level. And when you beat the level, you go down a level. And each level comprises of usually an enemy encounter or an NPC encounter or like an item level where you can just buy stuff. Battles are resolved with two buttons. You have an attack button and a defend button. Attacks, you can charge up an attack and use it when ready, or you can wait until your opponent is vulnerable. If you chain your attacks with good timing, then you can unleash attacks faster than you normally would. So it's sort of like the active battle system that a lot of Final Fantasy titles have used. You also have a defend button so that when your opponent tries to strike you, you can try to reduce the or block the attack completely. And as you venture through the level, you unlock, you know, you defeat monsters, you get gold, and then you can also get items and potions. You can only carry one item at a time, and the items have drastically different effects as you play through. I have, right now, the big item that I have, which I actually put in my chest to save because it seemed too good, is that every level you go down, like, so it's every encounter you finish, you regenerate 3 life, which is actually a big deal in this game. There's other items that's, you have a magic stat that doesn't do too much, unless you have items, it would seem. And when you get these items that use magic, they usually have profoundly stronger effects than the rest of the items you would get, but they require magic, so they're temporary and can run out. And if you're not using a character that's inclined, like the wizard character who is very high magic score, you're not going to get much use out of those items. The game has a paywall at some point. I think it's like $3 to buy the future level, like unlock all the levels though. There's also a microtrans batch of items that you can, not items, but you can buy gold and you can buy revives. So it seems like if you run out of revives, if your character dies, you use a revive. If you run out of revives, I don't know if the game just says you can't play anymore, if you have to restart, or if you have to wait for them to recharge or something like that. I haven't played it long enough. But, you know, the game is fun enough that, you know, I think $3 is certainly a fair price. Oh, another thing on the Ouya, they don't seem to have a structured payment method. Like, it's not like Xbox Live where you just, everything is the same sort of method. You, like, you can buy things and it's the same menu system and the same process. I was playing one game where you just got to a paywall and it said, you know, do you want to buy the game? And you said yes, and then you entered your credit card information and it just charged you. It didn't ever tell you how much it was. Fortunately, it wasn't too expensive, but that was a little, you know, that's not great. This game has a better system for it, but it seems to be on the developer to actually put that in place, and I think that's a bad idea because that could lead to some transactions that people don't want to have. Lastly, the other game I played on my Ouya was You Don't Know Jack. And anyone who knows this game knows what You Don't Know Jack is. I really like having this on my Ouya in my living room. It's easy to turn on, it's easy to get to, it's easy to play with friends. I have 2 controllers, so I could play with my wife. Kept Cookie Masterson as the voice. I think they have to, right? Does all the things You Don't Know Jack has to do. I wouldn't be surprised, and I don't know for sure, but this is probably a port of an existing You Don't Know Jack title. But the questions are very recent. Like, it's asking questions like, you know, with Lil Wayne or something in them. But I definitely like this game on the Ouya. It's a good console in a good location, and well, typically in a good location in a person's house to play this style game on. I don't see that I'm ever going to have 4 controllers for the Ouya to play 4 people. But who knows? It might be worth it. If this thing is just a dedicated You Don't Know Jack box, and that game has enough content to keep me entertained with 4 people, it might be a good investment to get 2 more controllers. So overall, the Ouya is getting a total thumbs up from me. It has some flaws, and I could see myself not liking some of the things they could do, or if they don't fix them fast enough. But, you know, I'm waiting to see the introduction of the friends list and, you know, added UI features and just see how full-fledged a console this thing becomes. Hardware's there. Now it's time to get the operating system up to snuff. And if anyone from Ouya is listening, I'd be glad to help you out and do some consultation work. You know, I'm totally willing to do some freelance here. Let's talk, people. I got some ideas. So anyway, that's it for Consumption Junction. We'll be right back with a new segment. We're doing a Let's Play segment, so we'll come right back and you'll see.
I was alone. I was all by myself. No one was looking. I was thinking of you. Oh yeah, did I mention I was all by myself? All by myself. All by myself. All by myself. I went to your house.
Welcome back to the show. Now that John is gone, we're going to take the show in a bit of a new direction, since it's just me and I need to fill the time. John was very much against us being a review show, but I always thought it might be a good idea that if every now and then we do like sort of a Let's Play segment for unique or unconventional games. John didn't think we were mature enough to do it, but I think we've gained maturity in the last year or so, and I think that we can do a good and really a grown-up job. So in the spirit of this idea, I have this game for the Xbox Kinect that I wanted to try out. It's called Super Yoga Revolution, and it's a yoga game in the same style of Dance Central. So you follow an on-screen avatar, and it shows you what the positions to take, and then you mimic it as close as you can, sort of follow the leader. Now, I know this is not the kind of thing I would normally play, and you as the audience probably expected something different. But I feel like we should branch out. I mean, I don't even really like the idea of yoga, but my wife does it and seems to enjoy it, so I thought it would be a good experience for me to try and maybe understand what she sees in it, you know, like a woman's perspective. I've started the basic game up here, and I'm going to play through it a bit, and it's just on level 1 since I'm new to this. This is as beginner as you get, so I'll just, you know, I'm going to record the session, and you guys can follow along, and we'll just do like a playthrough.
Hello and welcome to Super Yoga Revolution. I see this is your first time here, so we will start off with some basic poses.
Alright, I'm sure I can do some super basic poses.
First, bend over slightly at your hips and touch your toes. This is a pose known as the blossoming stink willow.
Seems easy enough.
Very good. Now we will slightly bend at the knees. Place your hands on your knees. This pose is known as the coiled tiger.
Coiled tiger, huh? That sounds tough, but I'm gonna give it the old college try. Here we go.
Wow, you are really getting the hang of this. Now put your elbows and knees on the floor, touching each other, and arch your back into the air. We call this the flourishing yogurt.
I did not know they had yogurt when yoga was invented. You learn something new every day, and now the names make total sense. Get in the position here. Activia!
Impressive. Lastly, we are going to go into an advanced pose. With your hands, grab your ankles and spread your legs, keeping your back arched in the air. This is known as the erupting geyser pose.
Alright, this is the one to win the level. A little tired here. Catch my breath. It's a little hard to breathe in here. Alright. First, I gotta bend like this, and then reach over here, and then just hold it! Hold it! And release!
Congratulations, you have passed session 1, which the ancient yogis used to refer to as Flight of the Noxious Sparrow as it glides over a pond of sulfur. Please come back tomorrow as we try session 2, 3 willow trees circling a ring of fire.
Whew! That game is quite the workout, and I feel much better now. I think I'm lighter or something. Maybe there is something to this yoga thing after all. I'm gonna go open a window and we'll be right back.
We'll be right back.
So you may notice that the audio quality changed here. Or you may notice that the audio quality sounds exactly the same. If it's the first case, it's because I had my levels way too low because I haven't recorded by myself in some time. If it's the latter case, it's because I'm really good at editing and I managed to fix that shit. So, either way, I hope this sounds good for everyone. And if it doesn't sound good, please write me a complaint or something. I need someone to yell at me. John's not here. So this is Game Club. Welcome to Game Club. You may be asking yourself if you're new here, or you may be asking yourself if you're old here and you just don't pay attention, Fred, what is Game Club? Well, Game Club is a segment on the show that we devised where we will play through a game, start to finish, or as far in as we can get, in the ascribed time, and we will play this game and dissect it like a book club. And we tend to play, I'm going to say, smaller, easier to digest indie style games. Not always, but this time, yes. So this week, spoilers where they're applicable. I don't think there'll be any this week, but you may or may not want to skip ahead if you have aspirations to play this game. This week we played The Ball, and I played it on my Ouya, and that was a mistake. Not really, though. So The Ball is a first-person puzzler, or as I've been told, an FPP. So think Portal, but we'll get to that. And I played it on my Ouya. It costs $10 on the Ouya, and this is actually the game I was talking about that had that really sudden and non-descriptive microtrans to buy the rest of the game, but it was $10, so whatever. Yeah, it's a first-person puzzler, so you are a nondescript character person, and you are going through a series of mazes and tunnels and puzzles with this ball. Well, let's rephrase that. You get, like, what looks like some sort of gun thing. I don't know that they accurately describe what the hell this thing is. It looks like a thing that would shoot fishing lines, but it has skulls and teeth and shit on it. But you get this gun, and the gun has two abilities. It can pull things in or push things, or it can hammer them when they're next to you. Sort of like a pinball lever. And a little later on, you then encounter the ball. And the ball just sort of drops out of the sky. It is what looks like an ancient Aztec or Mayan Pokeball. So you get the ball, and you have this this fishing reel gun or magnet gun or whatever it is, and you have to use the ball to get through the various puzzles in this temple that you've been deserted or stranded in. When you first get in there, your friends or your coworkers, other archaeological people tell you, like, help is on its way, and your first instinct is to walk around and get lost and find this huge puzzle. It's weird, though. It seems like you're in an excavation site, and it seems like people would have noticed that all this shit was down there, but they never do. Anyway, so it's not quite Portal. What does that mean? Well, the game is quite strong. It has a lot of very good puzzle elements, and it's a lot of fun to play, but it doesn't have the humor of Portal, and it doesn't have the storytelling of Portal. It's just a series of puzzles in a row, which is sad, because really this is a great style game to take that opportunity. But they didn't either, you know, this is a lower budget game, or they didn't have the acumen to do so. The game's from like 2010, so it's in that same era. But I really don't think the setting is proper for Portal level humor. So maybe that's probably why. But so it's a fun game. There's some control issues with the game and not specifically related to the Ouya. It feels like a very hollow first person shooter. It's based on Unreal Engine, and it kind of feels a lot like some early Unreal games. Controls are sort of clunky, and like, you know, you'll be standing on a ledge and then you won't be. Like, if you inch forward, like, there's no, like, real indication that you're going off it. And, you know, platforming elements are always tough in first-person shooters, especially when you can't see your hands or your feet. So it's not, you know, it's not Mirror's Edge. So the puzzles in the game are decent and challenging. If you're looking for something that's really going to be like a brain buster, probably not this game. The game is also fairly forgiving. Like, if you die, you usually pop up right by, like, a checkpoint, and some of the stuff you did before you died might actually already be done, so you don't have to redo the whole puzzle. But, you know, it's hampered a little bit by some fickle controls, and some of the puzzles just seem... I'm trying to think of the word. Pedantic probably isn't it, but they're just difficult because you have to go through these mundane tasks that take forever. Very early on in the game, there's a puzzle where there's two adjoined rooms from the main hall that you're in, right? And these rooms have these blocks in them, and you need to move. There's four holes for four blocks. The first block is in the main room. You can hammer it into the wall. But that's already a little bit annoying because you have to like angle yourself and punch the ball or punch the brick into the wall, and you might miss and you might just be off by a little, and then you have to run around. And but there, then you go into these rooms to get the other bricks, and you actually just have to like hammer them through the hallways, which doesn't feel like... it feels like there should have been a puzzle there to actually release the blocks and then have them release into the main room or something like that. But instead, it's just like I'm pushing a block down a narrow block-shaped hallway until it's out of the room, and that really isn't very entertaining or fun. So overall, the game is a good puzzle experience. It's $10, or you can get it, like we said a couple weeks ago, you can get it for like $6 mailed to you if you have Amazon Prime on a disc for the PC. In retrospect, I'm glad I played it on Ouya because I did like playing it with a gamepad. But if it has gamepad support on the PC, or if you just want to get one of those mapping programs for your controller, I feel like the PC might be a better platform to actually play this on. There's no like achievements or anything of that nature for the game. So if you're looking for an interesting first-person puzzler challenge, the ball definitely has some good moments. I'm not going to go too much into the story. It's not really that story heavy. You unlock pieces of story as you play through the game, but they're just sort of written pieces. It's like navigating the entire game through the notes and all that you would get in Spec Ops, but without a main storyline. So it feels a little tacked on or just hollow. But overall, I think it's totally a game worth your time if you have a good 6 or 7 hours to invest. And I think you might enjoy it. So next week, we're going to play something totally opposite of the ball. I got my Ouya, and there's a lot of games on there I want to play. And I feel like if you can't play along, which is kind of the purpose of Game Club because you don't have an Ouya, I feel like this is a good game to actually play because it might be more interesting to hear about it than it is to actually play it. So the game we're going to play is Sunday Morning RPG, which is another pixel art style game, but I've talked to a couple people about it. It's getting good reviews from a lot of people whose regard I hold well. It sounds like it's an RPG with some interesting combat mechanics and some interesting world elements and all that. So it should be a good romp through. So tune in next week. We'll play Saturday or Sunday Morning RPG. If you have an Ouya, feel free to play along. And if you have anything to say about it, write in and we'll throw it into Game Club. So with that, we'll be right back with the outro. Let's get moving into action. Let's get moving into action. If your life's too slow, no satisfaction. Find something out there, there's an attraction. If you hesitate now, that's a subtraction. So let's get moving, girl. It's a action. We take the 43 bus. We got no plan. No. The girl in the miniskirt, her name's Suzanne. Right. The one in the high-hole boat is Sharon. And Karen is the one with the blonde wig on. And with the bullet man, we're going number one. And I don't need any money not to have any fun. Hey, hoodlums. Do you know what I'm not good at? Recording audio at the proper level. You know what I'm also not good at? Filling a podcast up to an hour. I'm looking at my record time right now. It is not even close. Without the banter, this doesn't work. So, I may do a couple more of these solo shows here and there when I just get lazy, but anyone want to, like, you know, co-host or just come on for an episode and shoot the shit? I have Skype. I have a house that you can come to. I got an extra mic. We could do something. So, you know, give me a call. Anyway, that's the show for today. But as always, we have an outro segment where we do some cleanup work here. So if you skip past Game Club, then you skip past most of the show. But the game we're playing next week is Sunday Morning RPG, which from what I can tell is an Ouya exclusive. So better run out to Best Buy. It's $99, I think. So first and foremost, we have a new website. It's actually the same website as always, but I reskinned it, themed it, whatever you want. It looks a lot more pretty now, and everything feels like it's laid out well. So check it out. Community. So we have a couple of write-ins and stuff from community. CJ, friend of the show, CJ writes in, "What would you name the potential sequel to The Last of Us?" And that's a tough one because the obvious jokes would be The Last of Them, The First of Us, To the Last of Us, Till the Last of Us. You know, I'm going to go with To the Last of Us. That might be because it's got a 2 in there. Or The Last of Us 2. No, To the Last of Us or To the Last of Them. Something along those lines I think works pretty well. Dova writes in, or Ian. Why is your name Dova on Facebook, Ian? Seeing as how I limit myself to just a 360, same boat as me, what are your thoughts, if any, on State of Decay? I personally love it. I'm about 9 hours in and honestly hoping there's no endgame. I love the idea of a zombie game that's just about surviving for as long as possible. I believe that's exactly what DayZ is, but phone is more powerful than my PC. So I haven't played State of Decay. Like I said, I'm kind of missing my Xbox right now. But I looked into it a little bit, and I think you're right. I think it's exactly what you're saying, like DayZ, which I have played. The only thing I would warn you about there is that DayZ, I don't think, is a game for fun at all. I think DayZ is more of a game if you want to challenge yourself and see what kind of a fucking, how much humanity you lack. But this one looks like it has a better visual pedigree, and I don't know if it has an endgame or not. I've played some zombie games, but they were like, you know, web-based sort of text adventure zombie game stuff where it was you and I forget the name of it, but it was you and a couple of other players were in a town and you had to fortify the town. And every night the zombies would attack. And at the beginning of the day, you would see how many of you survived and what kind of resources you had left. And you'd have to go out in the wastelands or whatever and scavenge. And so that game, I think the longest anyone went was like 30 days. But there was no end game. The whole game was to just go as long as you could because eventually you'd get overrun. And it's very similar to these perpetual runners and all that. Like, it's very easy to create a game when you don't have to write a story that wraps it all up at the end. So I wouldn't be surprised if it's exactly what you said it is. So thanks, guys, for writing in. We have one more piece here. It's a voicemail that I'm going to play, and it might be a voice that sounds a little familiar to you.
Hey, Fred, it's John calling you from Redmond, Washington. I just wanted to say thanks for all the kind words on the last week's episode. That was great. So obviously, thanks to you, Harold, Frank, Dennis, Kevin, and CJ. That was awesome. Definitely got a little choked up. But anyway, have a good one and touch the shark. Bye.
And a touch the shark to you as well, sir. Good day. I wonder if his voicemail would be so happy if he heard what the rest of the show was. so big shout outs this week to our friends over at Perpetual Geek Machine and Cross Border Gaming. You know, all the people who've been on the show, all the guys who wrote in and stuff. If you'd like to be part of the show, if you'd like to write in or reach us, you can email us at letters@fantasticneighborhood.com. Or just like John, you can call us on the hotline at 720-HOODIE-6. That's 720-466-3436. You can find us on Twitter at Oh, God, I was going to say John's name. Oh, it's hard. It's really hard sometimes. Getting a little choked up here. A little verklempt. Okay, that was bad. You can find me at ProtoAddict, and you can find the show at Fantastic Hood. You can find us on Tumblr. You can find us on Facebook. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on the internet. If you'd like to know where all these locations are, I don't feel like reading them off, and quite frankly, don't remember a lot of them. So check out the show site at fantasticneighborhood.com. And I know that's a lot of typing for a lot of you people, but fucking deal with it. So with that, it's been a good show, and John's not editing this to cut me off, so I have a couple of words.
My hand again.